Good morning. I told Eddie I wanted to quote the first and second reading too. These three readings are all on this absolutely central theme of love and how we get there. We're told by moral psychologists that there's a staging in our growth in love. We have to start with self-love, respecting the self. If you don't respect yourself, you can't even know how to respect anybody else. Then God has to move you to what we're going to call group love, family love, basically love of people who are connected to you and like you, or who are like you. Now, a lot of people don't even get there. They don't even know how to love their family or those close to them or those in their group. But then the third level is universal love. And I'm afraid it's an even smaller level of people who get there. As we see in our politics and our country, most people at best just get to the second stage of knowing how to love people who are like them. Their race, their nationality, their religion, their political party. If you stay at that second stage of group love, you don't create a real big or healthy society. Now, with that as a preface, let's just look at these three readings. The first one is very significant from Acts of the Apostles because we have Peter himself, the so-called first pope. He is being taught by the Holy Spirit how to grow up, because he believes that God only loves the Jewish people. Christianity hasn't emerged yet. They just think that what's happening is a reform of Judaism. And then this strange thing happens that you just heard about, where the Holy Spirit fell upon everybody. And Peter looks around and says, oh my gosh, well, God seems to be for everybody and not just for the Jewish people. So I guess it's okay to include them into what we eventually call the church. But in fact, most of the church history has not really imitated that. We've pulled back into groupthink, and it's always about people who belong to our group. Peter proceeded to speak, and he said, in truth, I see God shows no partiality in any country. Whoever fears God and acts uprightly is acceptable. Now, you've got to know, that's pretty amazing, to recognize that all we really need is goodwill, if we can call it that. And God is working with such people. So all our distinctions between Jew and Christian and Hindu and Buddhist don't really mean that much. I'll take a good Buddhist or a good Jew any day over a bad or stupid Catholic. It's all how much have they grown in love. And this is what Peter himself is beginning to recognize. But he has to be pushed there. He's the so-called conservative at the beginning. But little by little, God leads him to universal love. Now, the second reading. Here we have that wonderful first letter of John, where pretty much John makes a perfect equation between God and love. Love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten of God. Whoever is without love does not know God. God is love. That's amazing, huh? Because it's moving us forward into a recognition that love and God are almost the same thing. So you see why it's quite amazing when you have people who are hateful in the name of religion. It doesn't make any sense. What was it a few weeks ago? A bunch of fraternity guys in upstate New York, maybe you saw that on the evening news, they all took a pledge to hate. I pledge to hate Jews, I pledge to hate gays, I pledge to hate blacks.
And I'll bet these were all nice white Christian boys, you know, who apparently have never read John's letter. God is love, and those who love are in God, and those who do not love are not in God. It's pretty clear, pretty simple. And then, of course, well, it really isn't pretty simple, because to grow into love is the supreme work of every one of our lives. Then we have the gospel from magnificent John 15, building on last week, the vine and the branches. Now, Jesus passes on this universal love to individual people. As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in that love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Now then he defines what the commandment is. We tend, when we hear the word commandment, we think of the Ten Commandments. Huh? And he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He says it very clearly at the end. This is my command, that you love one another. So all the Ten Commandments are summed up in love of God and love of neighbor. It's all ever-expanding circles of love. And that's the task of our life. You're in that journey. I'm in that journey. We all fail. We get it. We lose it. We get it. We lose it. But have no doubt, that's what our faith is all about. Because, as John and Jesus say here, God is love. Without love, without living in love, we cannot know God.